Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 235. I'm Tim Shelton, and I'm joined this week by guest Brett Kemmerling.
Hello, I'm back.
Yeah, I should have said returning guest, because this is, I think, now your fourth appearance on the show.
Fourth or fifth.
Yeah. So Spencer is traveling. He's in Colorado. And Gus didn't tell me why he was out this week, but he is somehow otherwise engaged. And we could have recorded a few days early to at least include Gus. But as we'll see when we get to the news, it is a very, very light news week. And so I was hoping some more news would break toward the end of the week, but so I didn't want to record early and then not catch that since it was already kind of a light news week. But Brett and I are going to make it fun regardless. I've got some ideas about things that we want to talk about. And then Brett, as you know, we've started going off the rails more at the end of the show. So if there's something in pop culture that you just want to shoot the wind about at the end of the show, we can also spin off in that direction. Usually there's some tangential tie into video games, but one of the funny ones that I'll tease is like, have you seen the people using the face swapping AI to take Henry Cavill's face off of Witcher Netflix show like video and put on Liam Hemsworth since he's going to replace it?
So there's I haven't seen those yet.
There's like these Frankenstein monster of what do they call those face? Wow, what's the name of the tech that people use to do that? Deepfake. They deepfake Liam Hemsworth onto Henry Cavill for like trailers and screenshots from The Witcher. And they all have different interpretations of what Liam Hemsworth should look like as The Witcher. So it's kind of interesting. But before we get to the news or any kind of tomfoolery, I will talk about what we've been playing this week. And as always, I try to have the guest go first. Although every time Brett's on the show, he brings up something and I put in the Michael from The Office GIF in our show notes that says, no. Because Brett, you've been playing
Tarkov.
Yes.
Yeah. I have recently slowed down a little bit on it though. Started working the Xbox back in there, but
have you seen the Call of Duty DMZ community kind of imploding because they did a reset like Tarkov where they wipe everyone's progress and people were not aware that that was happening? And when it happened or it was announced, they freaked out.
I had not seen that. I knew that they had a new, like the Resurgence map was coming back for Warzone. I didn't know that they wiped everybody.
Well, I don't know if they did or if it's coming because I'm not in that community very much, but I did see it on Reddit, the meltdown. And I'm not sure if it was from the announcement or it actually happened because I think season two has already been going, right? And we're waiting for season three to launch.
No, season two just started on like Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay, so I think that's when the wipe was happening, but people were definitely not prepared for it, and I don't know that it's going to be an every season thing, but in any case, that was a whole like Call of Duty versus Tarkov community conversation I saw going on, because DMZ is obviously their take on the Tarkov-style extraction gameplay, but which also, you said you were playing Modern Warfare 2 this week as well.
Yeah, but so I don't play a lot there. Yeah, I don't play a lot of DMZ. I mostly play TDM and Invasion, which is
the classics.
Big TDM. Yeah. I did actually finish off the Season 1 Battle Pass, like, the day before it went to Season 2.
Oh, you know what? I forgot I had this. Was the Season 1 Battle Pass free with the game? Was that what it was, the first season?
If you got the super whatever...
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I had the Battle Pass, and it must have just been included because my copy was provided by Activision's, representative team.
I got the Vault edition of the game, so I got like Battle Pass, and then like some additional skins and gun skins, and I think it gave me like 20 free tokens for the Season 1 Battle Pass, also.
Oh yeah, so that's the game had basically the equivalent of the level skips from Apex and other games. Yeah. That's what the 20 coins were. You know what? I think I had that version too because I think I had those 20 coins as well.
did you pay $100 for the game like me?
No, I said my copy was provided by Activision's representatives, right. So it for review, but yeah, so I definitely did not pay for that. And in previous years, I don't think they provided me with the like top end version, but yeah. So what else? What else you been playing lately?
I've been seeing Elden Ring come across my socials a lot more recently, so that prompted me to climb back into that, start working on some additional builds. I haven't gotten real deep into it, but I've been back in on that, and I did just this morning actually install the new Dead Space remake, and I've played about 45 minutes of that so far.
So I was excited when I saw you list this in our notes, because none of us on the show are playing this, so... I didn't know that you'd only played 45 minutes, so obviously you can only give us impressions of what you've seen so far. Did you play all the three original games or only the first one?
I've played one and two, but I never finished either of them.
Okay. So what are your, I guess, initial impressions? I've heard the graphics are pretty amazing.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. It still plays pretty similar to the original version of the game. It seems like they made Isaac a little more talkative than
yeah, he was unvoiced before, in the first game.
Yeah, so they gave him dialogue, and which is a little weird because he's a silent protagonist traditionally. But I think that's the biggest or newest thing that I've noticed so far. A lot of it is still pretty true to the original.
Yeah, I heard the three biggest, or I don't know if these are the three biggest, but the three changes that came across my feeds was the voicing protagonist thing, that they added voice and dialogue for him, that they added side missions, which obviously you haven't hit in the first 45 minutes, and that
no.
I heard the only major control changes were around the zero-G sections, where they didn't control super great in the first original iteration, whereas now they feel much more modern, but I don't know how far into the game those sections happen.
Yeah, I haven't hit one of those yet.
Yeah.
I wish that they would have gotten rid of the save checkpoints and just did an autosave feature, but...
So, like, do you have to get to certain points to, like, do your save? You can't save any time?
Yeah.
And you have to manually save?
Yeah.
Yeah. I still probably will never get around to this game just because I'm a sissy when it comes to scary, spooky games. That's just not my forte.
It's a lot of jump scares, but it's
I could probably do it.
Really, really fun but and interesting game, though.
I don't know that me being scared is the reason I don't want to play. It's just that I guess that's not the kind of that's not enjoyment for me. Like, it's not that it's scary and that I'm gonna like wet my pants. It's just that that's not the genre that I enjoy for my entertainment. Because I do watch scary movies from time to time. It's not like I'm afraid of them. Like, my wife would never watch a scary movie. Never in a million years. In fact, if she watches a movie that she doesn't know is scary and halfway through it takes a hard twist, she's like power button as fast as she can get to it. I forget what I was watching one time that was not a scary movie, but it had a jump scare in it. And my wife noped out of the room so fast. Like, she was just like, nope, 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 nope. So hilarious. When I'm watching The Last of Us, she's watched three of the five episodes with me. Sometimes she wants to be in the room and, you know, be around me, but she's worried about being afraid. And she doesn't know how much zombies, not zombies, but infected are going to be in the TV show. So the way she watched it with me was she sat sideways, not facing the TV, holding an iPad, watching her iPad with earbuds in. So she's focused on the iPod with the earbuds in. And then occasionally when she knows it's a safe scene, she would look up and watch the TV a little bit. And then when it started to seem like something might tense might be happening, she would go back to the iPad and turn the volume back up. And that's how she watches The Last of Us with me.
Okay.
She did watch, one of the episodes didn't have a lot of infected in it, and she watched that one. But like the second or third episode has the clicker scene in it, and she was noped. She was noped out of that real quick. I think she looked up just briefly to see a clicker and was like, yep, nope. So that's funny.
We just watched Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness last night, and that felt a little more horror themed than I was expecting it to.
Oh, I mean, I guess I knew from interviews it was going to lean into it because, you know, Sam Raimi and all that, but I didn't realize it was scary.
I didn't find it scary. It was very dark and had some very horror themed makeup and CGI type stuff in it.
Yeah, not spoilers.
The way they make Wanda look during some scenes in that movie definitely lean more back towards Sam Raimi's old Evil Dead days.
And there is like some jump scare like kills, and there are some like chase scenes that feel straight out of a horror movie. And there's some makeup on characters towards the end of the movie that are very horror-y. Yeah. I love that movie, by the way. I just saw Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania on Friday. And that movie, to me, the way that Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness felt like a... Man, see, we're already on a tangent. This is supposed to be at the end of the show. It felt more like a Star Wars prequel movie. Like, it was set in a different world, and there's, like, big battles, like... Attack of the Clones is what I would say. That second prequel movie is what Quantumania felt like. My wife even said the same thing. But okay, so what I've been playing, super straightforward for me. I did check out the new season of Apex Legends after they rebooted how all the legends now are categorized into 5 classes instead of the 3 non-classes they had before. And I didn't really do any of the class-based stuff. But I used it to check out the new Team Deathmatch. And I know when it first launched, each Team Deathmatch was like a 3-round thing where it'd be like the first to 30 kills. And then it would go to a new round, the first to 30 kills, and then a new round, the first 30 kills. So it was the best 2 out of 3. They killed that a couple days later, really quickly pivoted. So by the time I booted it up for the first time, I played the 1 round where it's the first to 50 kills.
Yeah.
And I was having a hard time because you don't pick weapons up off the ground like you do in other Apex. It's you pick a class and there's these preset loadouts. So you have less control, like you have 5 options, and then there's other stuff like power weapons you can pick up on the map. It's kind of a cool blend of like Halo and Call of Duty and Apex Legends. Brett, you're going to have to talk for a second though, because I need to cough.
I did see that they changed that. It was the matches were taking too long, and they were getting a lot of negative feedback, I guess, from the community on the round-based structure of it. And that they said that I saw the announcement that they were changing it to a 1 round, but then increasing the kill cap.
Yeah, and it seemed like the matches were taking too long. I was also having a hard time honing in on... Your legend choice is a lot different for Team Deathmatch than it is for the Battle Royale mode, because you're thinking different things about, because you're going to respawn and stuff. So there's a whole different strategy. And zone defense characters, which are their own class now, I forget what they're called. I think they're called control characters, have a whole different play, because are you going to like just control a set part of the map? But your teammates don't generally sync up as well, because you're playing with a bigger team. So if you're the only one defending that area, you probably aren't going to do so well. So it's a whole different kind of strategy. Also, I told you wrong in a text message that the team deathmatch was a permanent thing. It's not permanent. It's going to be for the first 2 weeks, and then it's going to be in a new playlist that rotates between that, control, and I think one other game mode.
I think they're probably going to find out if people like it enough to make it permanent, and then they might make a decision down the road. How do character abilities and their cooldowns work in that structure?
I believe it's the same. It's both kills increase your, how it loads, and then time based. I don't think the timers are different in those modes. I didn't pay too much attention to it. I did feel weird about using my abilities, my super, what's it called, ultimate, just because I wasn't sure. I forget if it carries over between deaths. I don't think it does. So when it loads up, because you're not trying to stay alive in the same way you are in Battle Royale, because you know you have more lives, you're almost like encouraged to use it before you die, but it's a whole different, like I said, a whole different strategy, because in Battle Royale, you only have that one life. So you're playing much more methodically with how you pick your lines and stuff. Whereas Team Deathmatch, people tend to play way more aggressively, like a Call of Duty type run and gun scenario. And it's just interesting. It's just interesting. I'm glad they brought it in, although I don't think it's as clean cut as I thought it was going to be. Like, you can't create your own class, which I was a little saddened by, even if like they did a thing where they gave you like a budget, right? Like where you know, when you start attaching really good sights, that takes away your ability to do grenades or something because it's a trade off. So you really just have a couple of classes to choose between.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't climbed back into it yet. I did see somebody post a TikTok the other day that, like, part of the reworking Pathfinder can now use his alt, like, 3 times before it goes on cooldown or something like that. Like, I don't know all of the reworks, but this guy did 3 ziplines pretty much in a row.
Yeah, I forget what they did change his thing, and they made it much longer. He can shoot ziplines way farther now. I don't play him a whole lot, though, so I don't know. I forget from the patch notes what the full situation was. The other game I've been playing, and this is what I've actually been playing the most the last few days, is Bioshock 2, which is, well, the remastered version of it. I forget what it's called. I think it's called Remastered. I don't know if it's called Anniversary. I'm pretty sure it's Remastered. So I played Bioshock 1 a few years ago, and I played Bioshock 3 when it came out, but I never played Bioshock 2. And I'd always heard really good things about Minerva's Den, which is the DLC for Bioshock 2. So I'm basically playing Bioshock 1 for the story, and I'm going to play through the campaign and then check out Minerva's Den, because I had heard such good things about it. And I don't know anything about it except for that it's called Minerva's Den. So I'm completely in the blind after all these years. I don't remember. One night I was just looking at my backlog installed on my console, and I was like, what is something I can play that doesn't have to be connected to the internet so that it can easily be resumed? And that just jumped out at me. So I started playing it, and then a couple days went by and I was still playing it. So I'm like 2/3 of the way through the game. I might finish it up this next week. We'll see if something else distracts me, but I don't know. This so far this year, I've been really focused on knocking stuff off of my backlog, where I think I beat already like 6 or 7 games so far this year. So that'll probably be the next one. Plus, we don't have too many major releases except for Destiny, which we'll talk about in a second, until like March, April timeframe.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that I'm really looking forward to outside of Starfield this year. Diablo, potentially, which I see we're going to talk about later. That's on my radar, but I don't know, with everything that happened with Diablo Immortal, I don't know how excited I still am for Diablo 4.
Yeah, my list of games that I'm looking forward to this year, I do keep a little like dates thing in my phone, is the DLC for Horizon Forbidden West on PS5, Star Wars Jedi Survivor in April, Redfall in May. I'm actually really looking forward to Redfall gameplay. I don't know that I care about the story or anything besides the gameplay, but the gameplay looks dope. Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, Assassin's Creed Mirage, Starfield, and on the PlayStation side, Marvel Spider-Man 2. Big Spider-Man fan, so
there cool. Is that I do need to go back. I'm close to the end, I think, of the original one.
Oh, I was gonna say
Miles Morales. So
Miles Morales is really good, but it's also shorter, so it's much more bite-sized if you want to get that one. Do you have a PS5 or are you on PS4 Pro?
I still have a PS4. Not even a Pro. It's a day one PS4.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I don't play my PlayStation very much. It's basically just an exclusive machine. And even then, I have exclusives loaded on it that I have never finished. I had to really resist buying The Last of Us Part 1 on PS5 to play alongside the show. But if I buy that and start playing that means I'm not playing something else. So, and I've already beat The Last of Us back in 2013. So I'm trying to resist going back to it, even though it's prettier.
Yeah, I probably don't need to. I beat it on the, when they upgraded it for PS4, because it was originally a PS3 release. So I bought the PS4 upgrade, beat that a couple times, and I still haven't finished Last of Us 2.
Brutal. It's a brutal game.
Yeah, I'm just, like, I know some things that go on in the second half of the game, and I'm not really excited to play as the antagonist for half of a game.
Not really the antagonist, though. That's the point of it.
I don't want to
have a new perspective.
Not interested in it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk through some news. Although calling what we have this week news, I would say these are more topics of discussion than normal news items. Some of it is, like the first one, Diablo 4 open beta. I think this was announced at the IGN had some little thing over the weekend. I think they call it IGN FanFest or something, and they had like movies and games, like announced little things. There wasn't a whole lot of news that came out of it that I found interesting. In fact, I was more annoyed that people like were blowing up my Twitter feed with IGN related stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, my Twitter feed is I have my feed, and then I have a list that I have private where I just follow like every gaming outlet and personality under the sun on one list, to where I can go to that list and use it as just kind of a what's going on in gaming. And that was just, that feed was just blown up with Twitter, IGN nonsense. Side note, Twitter is removing the ability to use SMS as two-factor authentication in March. It was announced yesterday, and it popped up in the app for me, unless you subscribe to Twitter Blue. So they are making two-factor authentication with SMS a paid feature. You'll still be able to do it via like an authentication app. Now, if you only are here for video games, fast forward 5 minutes, because I'm about to go on a rant. It might only be 2 minutes. So I get it. Elon Musk bought Twitter. He couldn't get out of it. He got forced to pull the trigger after the stock dipped and he was in a bad situation. He was getting sued. So he went through with it. So now he's cutting everything and he's trying to make revenue. So he's trying to make Twitter Blue a thing. I tweeted this out: add value instead of taking value away and putting it behind a paywall. That's your first mistake. Second mistake: I know he's trying to make revenue, right? So he thinks, okay, I'll pull this behind the paywall. Some people will pay for it. That increases revenue. He's also cutting costs. It costs money to send those SMSs. I actually recently in my professional career had a conversation with a company that does those SMS deployments for a large company, not for two-factor authentication, but for other purposes. And obviously there's a cost behind that. Even if it's only 2 cents per SMS or 1 cent, that adds up when you have millions of users and millions of logins, blah, 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 blah. I get it. But you're just going about it the wrong way. You're announcing stuff in the wrong way. You're not. It's super annoying. And I'll tell you what, I am not going to pay for Twitter Blue if you take away things that I've been using and make them paid features. If you add value and it's good, maybe I'll pay for it. But you have not done that. You just keep taking things away, like verification and two-factor authentication. And it's just making me mad. And I wasn't even mad initially, like, but it's getting worse and worse, and it's very annoying. End rant. Brett, you don't use Twitter, so you probably don't.
I use it, but I shouldn't use it.
It's like my news feed, because I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on TikTok. I do use Reddit. I do use Discord, but I got away from most of the social media just from the toxicity of like everybody posting their like it's to their kids, their food, or their political stance, and I don't really care about any of those. So
I need to probably get off of Twitter, because I use it all poorly.
It's all who you follow. If you follow people that are decent people, your experience will be great. If you follow dumb people,
I keep getting updates from a certain individual that I don't follow, and I don't like them, and I'm not going to bring it up here.
Well, you can block them and make them go away, or you can use the follow feed where it only shows people you follow, which is what I do. So I don't get all those random recommendations. Okay, back to the news though. IGN, their FanFest thing, Diablo 4 open beta. The open beta Available to everyone March 24th through 26th, but they're going to have an early access if you, I think it's if you pre-ordered the game, is March 17th through March 19th. And so you'll be able to play the prologue, and then you'll also be able to play everything through the end of Act 1. And the game doesn't release till June. So they've obviously done previous tests, but this one's an actual open beta. So they'll have a full 3 months to react to the beta feedback. So if you're interested in Diablo 4, jump in. It's in March. You said you were, Brett. Thoughts?
Yeah, this sounds good. I'd like to get in on the beta and get involved in that and hope that they didn't do any of the Diablo Immortal stuff with this game, because that will be a surefire way to get at least me to not buy it.
Yeah, Diablo is a blind spot in my gaming history. I never played any of the Diablos. I almost played Diablo 3 a few years ago when a coworker tried to get me into it, but it was never on sale at the time. And I was, at that point, it was an older game. So I was like, oh, I'm going to wait and catch it on a good deal. It was around the time they raised the price again after an expansion came out, and they re-released it as like a box set. And Reaper so you Souls. Could only get it for 60 or 70. Yeah. At the time. And I was not willing to pay that. I needed to dig up an old $20 copy is what I should have done. But
yeah. I never played the first or second games. Diablo 3 is, while it's still heavily played, it's not as popular as 2 to a lot of the people who have played that franchise for a long period of time. I think that visually, people were very disappointed in Diablo 3 because it's very bright and shiny, whereas the older games were, they looked like a dark dungeon, and it was gritty. So they didn't like that as much. I love Diablo 3. It's my only experience with the franchise. I'm still looking forward to 4, which looks like it's going back to a more 2-esque visual aspect.
Yeah. Well, that probably will not be coming to Game Pass, thanks to a bunch of... Looks like the Activision Blizzard thing continues to either be delayed or won't go through. I still maintain I think it'll go through. It's just going to go through the slowest process ever. I bet this ends up taking 2 or 2.5 years.
Yeah, that or they might have to make some extreme concessions along the way. I don't know.
Yeah, like divestiture of... they talked about divesting Call of Duty, which obviously would be a huge deal. The sell price would have to change drastically if you're divesting the biggest... piece of Activision. So
I still don't understand everyone being so upset about it. Like, they have no intention to make that franchise go exclusive. So I don't understand why everyone, I mean, I understand Sony because their name won't be plastered all over the ads anymore. And that means that they'll probably sell fewer consoles from people who don't know any better. But
yeah, I mean, they are going to lose some sales due to Xbox marketing probably being at the end of all Activision Blizzard stuff in a few years once the PlayStation marketing deal runs out. But I host an Xbox podcast, and I don't care if this goes through or not. I've said many times the only reason I care at this point is Microsoft committed to the deal, and if they don't make the deal, they have to pay a $3 billion out fee. And that's $3 billion that comes out of the pocket of investment in other better parts of gaming. So that's money wasted if this doesn't go through.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about that part as much as I am more worried about the fact that Activision clearly wants to sell. And if it's not Microsoft, obviously Sony doesn't have the cash flow to do it. So it's going to be one of those Chinese or the Saudis that are going to get it. And I would much rather it be Microsoft out of those options.
Yeah, I think your least bad option outside of Microsoft is Embracer Group, although I don't like how they've handled their IP, but it's better than Tencent, the Saudi, what's it called? The Saudi Investment Fund, or what's the other Chinese conglomerate that buys up gaming companies? One of them's worse than the other as far as their connection to the communist regime and some of the bad things that are happening in concentration camps in China and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, moving on from that, because it's a video game podcast. Number 2, Dead Island 2 had its release date pulled up a week, so this game's been delayed many times. Now it got pulled up a week, and they went gold.
Hey.
So now the release date is April 21st, 2023.
People are going to finally be able to play that game.
I'm going to predict right now, after all those years in development, it's going to get like a 75 Metacritic. So,
Yeah, it's probably not going to match hype or live up to expectations in any
way. I don't even feel like there is hype. Like, I feel like people are just like, okay, fine, it's coming out.
Well, the hype that it originally had,
yeah,
what, 4 years ago when they announced it.
It had a good debut trailer. That's its claim to fame. And yeah, that it got traded developers three times. Number three. I don't really have more to say unless you want to hang on.
No,
I
didn't even really play the first one, so it's not really on my radar.
I think I played 2 hours of the first one. And I was like, it's another one. Look, I play lots of these games, but it's like where you got to pick up everything, like, to find usable stuff is what I remember. But I could be thinking of, maybe I was doing that and it wasn't necessary. But, you know, it's a first person zombie game. What are you going to say? You know, I have, so I'm a little sick. I've got a light cold and I haven't been coughing all day. But when you talk nonstop for an hour on a podcast, it's definitely stirring up a major cough. I'm muting myself so the audience will never know, but
oops.
Oh, you did that on purpose.
Well, I've actually had a cough for like 3 weeks now that I have a lot of clearing my throat I have to do.
Well, and everyone,
my beer's gone now, so I don't have anything to drink.
Everyone that was listening with like earbuds directly in their ear just went deaf. So you're,
yeah,
right.
I do apologize for that.
I'll dull the audio later so that you don't destroy anyone's eardrums.
I've been trying to avoid doing that.
Although I won't go into it here. I was going to say I was somewhere today that my wife was looking at her Apple Watch and it was telling her the decibels. And it was like, your hearing may be damaged in your current environment. And I was like, yeah, no crap.
Interesting.
Okay, number three. This is another kind of nothing burger. Civilization 7 is in development. So what's interesting about this is that Midnight Suns just came out. Take-Two said it underperformed in the marketplace as far as sales, despite critical success. And a bunch of people left the studio this week with the announcement of this. I believe the game director of Midnight Suns and XCOM left, and a few other more minor people, alongside them announcing Civ 7 is in development. So I don't think I think there's nothing there. Like, I don't think them leaving is a big deal. Like, he just completed a game he's worked on for years and years and years. He may want to try something new, like, totally up to him. He didn't leave mid project, but I'm not at all a Civ person. So Civ 7 being in development to me is like, whatever.
Never
sounds good. I'm glad the
one.
Civ people
never played a one of them. So this doesn't mean anything to me.
It's like it's not a competitor to Age of Empires, but you know what it is. It's like it's Civilization. It's a nation building game, but it's turn based and tile based in the little octagon tiles they have. Okay, number four. The February Xbox update is out. So as we've gotten deep into the life cycle, less and less cool features are launching, but sometimes there are cool ones. So this was the launch of those carbon aware, I'm doing air quotes, features that they announced, where now you can do updates when your console is in sleep mode, and you can have your console have active hours, so it's only awake when it thinks you most likely game, so that it's not using as much power when you're asleep or at work. So we talked about that previously on the show, so I won't go into too much detail or read the notes there. Another one is being able to hide the game art. So you know how when you're on the dashboard, if you select the game that is in the top left position, it will, if you have the basic background set on your Xbox, it'll transition that to the game art for the game that you have highlighted. You can now turn that off, so you can always see your background even when you have a game selected.
I hadn't noticed that. I've had like a custom background since I've had my Series X, I think.
Yeah, I have a dynamic background on too, which overrides it as well, so I don't see that either. It's mostly for people, I think, that use the solid colors like blue, black, silver, whatever. Google Home integration. So you've been able to control your console with your voice through Google Home for 3 years now, maybe even 4 years. 2019 was it? Now you can also do it from your phone. So you can do the Google Home app on your phone, which I actually tested the other day, and you can hit on and off and volume and basically use it like a remote for a media. Like if you buy the Xbox media remote, it's the same functionality just in an app form. I used it the other day to turn off my Series S when we sat down at the dinner table and my kids were watching, I think they're watching Bluey, and I turned it off so that they would come to the dinner table, which was handy. But that's about the extent of it.
Was that met with a cold reception?
No, I mean, my kids are excited for dinner. And
okay.
They usually don't throw a fit. They don't watch that much TV. So, like, and they don't. Bluey's only 7 minutes long. So, like, a lot of times, even if they throw a fit, it's like, okay, well, if you go brush your teeth and get ready for bed, you can watch one more episode. And they come back and they watch a 7 minute episode, which is okay. Not a big deal. And then they go to bed. So, Bluey is the best kids show, in my opinion, both because the plot lines are digestible for adults and kids, where you won't be bored out of your mind if you're the parent. And two, they're only 7 minutes long. So if you need your kids to do something, you can reward them with a 7 minute show, which is a very reasonable length. And then it's the best of both worlds. So
right.
Great show. Cannot say enough nice things about Bluey. Okay, where were we? What did I not say? Oh, Insiders. So the next update they're testing with Insiders is a new search results for Xbox, which this is much needed. I hate the search results because you'll type in something and only like one or two things in the top left will be related to your search. And then it gives you like other stuff that's like not really that relevant. I don't know. The search results page has always kind of bothered me. So the new version, well, here, I'll read you their explanation. Discover a refresh of the console search page. This includes a sleek new color profile, gallery-style results, visible filter categories, navigate with RB and LB, an option to search on YouTube within the Movies and TV tab. So it's basically more visual, it gives you better results, and then you can navigate way easier. And now you can actually search from the Xbox for a YouTube video and then just click YouTube, and it'll search that same thing on YouTube without you having to go and launch the YouTube app, which is slightly helpful. I do watch a lot of YouTube on my console, so that's good for me. I don't know that I'll use the search function. It would be more helpful if I could use my, I'm not going to say it because I want to activate it in my room, but my Google auditory device to search with my voice for content and have it launch on my Xbox on YouTube. I can do that with a Chromecast, but I can't do it with my Xbox. I don't think. Now I'm questioning whether I'm accurate. Google, I see it lighting up because I said the word. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Okay, moving on. Number five. Actually, Brett, are you an Echo or a Google Home? Do you have any smart devices?
I have neither of those. I've toyed with the idea of getting an Echo, but it's never come to fruition as of yet.
Well, if the shipping wouldn't cost me an arm and a leg, more than it's worth, I would give you the Echo that I have in a drawer because I don't use it because I have Google everywhere. Somebody gave it to me as a gift, and it's literally in a drawer under my desk, and I would happily give it to you if we weren't so far apart.
Yeah. I'd like to have something like that for, like, you know, just like nice summer days. We got the house opened up. You just want to like listen to some tunes or whatever, especially if I could get like some speakers and a receiver rigged up on my back porch so that like if I'm out there just smoking meat or whatever, have Alexa turn something on. But
yeah, I mostly use it for voice commanding stuff, the lights in my house, turning my Xbox on and off. We do listen to music on it so the kids can like dance. We'll tell it to play a song and the kids will dance like next to the Google Home. So but
I haven't gotten there as far as having like smart lighting in the house. I did when we bought the house. I did make sure to go through and make sure all of the lights were LEDs.
I did the same when I got a house. Keep your lighting costs down.
Yep.
And the extra heat in the summer. You don't want the heat from all the incandescent bulbs.
Yep.
Plus, they just in general last longer. And I really hate CFLs because they take so long to get hot. They take forever. Like, so you're in a dark room like the garage and you're only going to be out there a second. You turn it on and it's barely bright for the first 2 minutes. Man, a lot of tangents in this episode, which is good because there's not a lot of great news. These next two stories are complete, like, what do you think will happen situations. So they both come from the Embracer Group quarterly results. One is 5 Lord of the Rings games coming from Embracer in the next 2 years, which at first I was like, oh, interesting. Could we get something cool like Shadows of Mordor? But then I saw a Polygon article that gave some theories about what those 5 games could be. And then I got way less interested because Polygon thinks that the 5 games are the following. The Lord of the Rings Gollum, which is already announced, which doesn't look that great to me. EA's collectible role-playing game could be another one. That's coming to mobile, so that's not great. Another one called The Lord of the Rings Return to Moira, which is a survival and crafting game from Free Range Games. I don't know anything about that one, but doesn't really sound that enticing. And then the 4th says it could be an untitled game from Weta Workshop. We did talk about that one on the show 6 months or so ago. So they worked on the films, but they haven't made a ton of video games, so I don't know about the potential for that one. And then the 5th is completely unknown. So that's the potential for something interesting. We haven't had any Lord of the Rings games since the Shadow of Mordor sequel, which came out. Shadow of War, which came out the year the Xbox One X came out, because it was a launch game for the One X. So that's been 5 years, I think, since a big AAA Middle Earth game.
Yeah. Was it a One X game? Because I thought that
Metro and Middle Earth Shadow of War were the two big.
Oh yeah,
One X.
Mid generation, technically.
Yeah.
Because I have Shadow of Mordor. I have it at least for PlayStation. I might have it actually for both.
Yeah, they gave it away free, like, everywhere. I think I own it on Epic Game Store, PlayStation, Xbox.
And I think I claimed Shadow of War, or my brother bought it, one or the other.
And it's on Game Pass now.
Yeah.
Which,
I haven't played the sequel of War yet.
I played the first one. This is absolutely accurate. That series plays like Batman Arkham games combined with Assassin's Creed. That is the exact description of those games.
Sure. But it's Lord of the Rings.
But it's Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Makes it better.
I almost played the second one when I was watching Rings of Power, because I was on a Lord of the Rings kick, but I just never got motivated up to it because I think it's like a 30 or 40 hour game, and I was like, eh, I don't really
feel like
it.
I heard that they really improved a lot of the mechanics involved with like the Nemesis system and stuff like that for the second one, which I liked the Nemesis system in the first game as it was.
Well, and you may not remember this, but remember there was controversy when it launched because it was kind of grindy because it had a microtransaction component. Yes. A year to 2 years after launch, they did a final update. No, it was a year after launch. And they said, you know what? We were wrong this whole time. And they totally reworked the entire economy, removed the microtransactions, and relaunched the game. So now it is completely retooled with no microtransactions. So if you and I were to play it today, we would be probably playing the best version of it because it wouldn't have all that grindiness to it. Which I do take comfort in knowing if I ever do play it, that I appreciate that they fixed the problem, but they did it after they had benefited from however many dollars worth of microtransactions they got in that first year. And I doubt people were still buying microtransactions a year later. So it's like, did you really just do it because nobody was buying anyway? And now you get the good PR of fixing the problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So related to that, number 6, Crystal Dynamics and Eidos Montreal have announced that they'll release 5 games by March of 2028. And currently, the only games we know that those two studios are working on is a Tomb Raider sequel and Perfect Dark, along with Microsoft. So assuming those are both included in that 5 games, they have 3 other projects in the works. But 2028 is a full 5 years away, so there's a lot of gimme room in that prediction there. Are you a fan of the Tomb Raider trilogy of recent games?
I've only gotten a chance to play the first one, and it's kind of like you, where I pick something up for a little while and I pick something else up, and then I like it. I definitely want to get back to it, and I definitely want to play the 2 follow-ups. but I have a lot of other stuff that I generally play pretty long term that gets in the way.
Yeah. I feel like in the last, ever since you and I quit playing Apex on the regular, I've been a lot better about picking single player games and just seeing them through to completion while I'm playing other stuff kind of piddly. But I kind of stopped playing games that just go on forever, right? Like Call of Duty, Apex Legends, Destiny. Although, and maybe this is a good place to drop it, Destiny obviously coming up with their Lightfall expansion. They've had a lot of new trailers and stuff come out in the last few weeks. It does look good. And there's things they, every time they do a big update like this, which is feels like a big one like Lightfall only comes around every 2 to 3 years. They do a lot of stuff that I like. The problem is I bought Witch Queen when it was on sale and never played it. It's really hard for me to find time to play that one as a father because it's connected online and some of the stuff requires co-op and I just don't have time.
I'm not a father and I don't have time to play Destiny anymore. Like,
yeah. Which is funny because you and I met in Destiny, looking for groups yeah. for Destiny 1.
I've never really liked the changes that they made in Destiny from 1 to 2. I know that a lot of people think that 2 is fundamentally a better game. I didn't like a lot of the changes they made.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Then they, you know, when the streamers started crying about there not being enough content and not enough things to do, they made the game so extremely grindy that you have to be a streamer or you have to never, ever stop playing that game in order to stay caught up. And I made the same mistake. I bought the Witch Queen when it was on sale and I didn't play it because I was really wrapped up in Tarkov. And
I do want to see this story through. Like, I'm obviously not going to get raid ready again because I just don't have that time to raid in my life and play other games that I want to play. If all I played was Destiny, this podcast would be pretty boring for my portion of the beginning, which is, hey, I played Destiny more this week.
Right.
Welcome to your Destiny Weekly Podcast.
I certainly miss certain aspects of it, but most of that goes back to the first game. You know, the friends that I had playing that game and the amount of time that I could spend playing that game, even soloing, whether it was running around doing heroic strikes by myself or, you know, farming materials or even playing Crucible, it was less grindy and still more fun to play alone. The first game was.
Yeah. The other game I almost got into this week, but there's a private crossplay test for Ubisoft's, what used to be Tom Clancy's X Defiant, but now it's just X Defiant. And I didn't play this most recent test. And the reason I didn't play is because when the test went out, I saw a code that was provided to me. And I redeemed it, and then I saw there was an NDA. And I was like, well, if there's an NDA, I don't really want to play it, because I would want to talk about it on the show, and I don't want to break an NDA, so I just didn't play it. That way, I'm not tempted to accidentally say something. And to be honest, I used to play a lot of betas and demos and stuff. These days, I have so many games that are out or installed on my machine to play that I don't really need to play stuff that isn't done yet, unless it's something so big that I want to talk about on the show, like a Halo or I'm trying to think of another mega example, but usually Halo, if they do a test, that's big enough, especially for an Xbox podcast, to warrant checking out before release. But yeah. So the final thing I have for this week is number 7. Valheim is coming to Game Pass on PC and console in March. So this is a notable game on console. It's another Embracer-owned game. How would you describe this game? Have you ever tried Valheim? Would you describe it as a survival game?
I've never played it. I've only watched, you know, a few minutes here and there of people streaming it.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's for me.
I don't know if it's MMO. Like Steam's. Or...
I googled the Valheim, and it says Valheim is a brutal exploration and survival game for 1 to 10 players set in a procedurally generated world inspired by Norse mythology. So I was right. It's kind of a survivalist game. So that's probably a genre that I'm underserved in, that and less interested in. So I don't know that I'll check that out. But that is a big title, so I think a lot of people will be interested.
I know it was really, really popular when it came out. Didn't it come out right around pandemic time?
I don't know. And it says Embracer. What was the game? I'm thinking of either Lost World or Lost Ark. Which one was the one that was Amazon?
Oh.
Is Lost World Amazon?
I don't know. That one doesn't sound familiar to me. I'll say there's Ark, which is the one with dinosaurs.
No, that's not the one. It's another game. Gosh, it's going to kill me. Anyway, Valheim release date. Let's see what it was. February 2nd, 2021. So it was about a year after the pandemic started. The game I was thinking of, Amazon Studios Games. Let's see if this gets me what I want.
Oh, New World.
Yeah, New World's the one I
sorry,
I
when you were
thinking.
Saying Amazon, I thought you were thinking takes place in the Amazon. No, I actually have New World, but I have not even fired it up.
Well, Lost Ark is also an Amazon game. Yeah, so those are the two. I'm not sure which one. I tried one of them on PC
Lost
and
Ark,
I can't remember.
I think, is a little more top-down-y. Diablo style kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, it looks also way more fantastical. So I think New World is the one that I checked out briefly.
It's an MMO.
Yeah, there's literally no screenshots on their website. I'm clicking around trying to find a screenshot to see if it's what I played, and I can't find one on their website. Yeah, it says MMORPG on their website, but there's no screenshot. It's all CGI trailer stuff. So that doesn't help me, and I'm giving up. Yeah, so that's it this week. The only thing, I cut a story from the show. Microsoft is teaming up with Minecraft and Crocs. They're making shoes, Crocs,
that's terrible.
That are Minecraft themed. How dumb is that?
That's very dumb.
I'm sure they will sell a ton to kids. And to be honest, Crocs sandals are great for my kids because they can throw them on to run outside. But they're sandals. They look like normal sandals. Not the Crocs. Those look terrible.
They're not even like, okay.
They're basically made out of the same material. So they're like foamy, but they just look like normal sandals. So they have the straps over the top.
I guess that's an improvement because regular Crocs are disgusting.
They look like a clog that gave up and was made out of foam.
Yeah.
But, for a cheap shoe, I mean, some people just want cheap footwear. Like I in general like a comfy shoe, but I don't take it to that level. Crocs isn't my jam, but I bet they will sell a lot of Minecraft clogs. I almost said clogs. Crocs.
Kids. They probably will.
And
Minecraft never ceases to be popular.
Yeah. Man. Although we hear about it a lot less. Do you remember when it used to be like the top 10 most sold games alongside Grand Theft Auto 5 every single time the sales would come out? And it feels like now it's farther down the list than it used to be. But then again, at a certain point, like who doesn't own Minecraft? Like I think I own 3 copies.
I don't play it. I've never owned it. It's never been my thing, but I see a lot of it in TikTok videos. People will take Reddit posts, what's the creepiest thing that's ever happened to you in this, type thing. And it'll be someone posting a Reddit story, but in the background, it's someone playing Minecraft as someone's narrating the Reddit story. They're all over TikTok.
Interesting. TikTok content, in air quotes.
I think Trackmania is another one that people do a lot of that with, too. That's just a game that's in the background of those Reddit posts.
I see some absolutely insane stuff in Trackmania, and I don't know anyone that plays the game, but the people that do some insane stuff.
I'm tempted to try it.
I don't even know, what is that available on, all platforms? I don't even know what it costs or when the last version of that game came out. It's just something that doesn't hit my news feed ever.
I think
I don't even know if it's an old game or is it something that they come out with a new one every 5 years.
It's a free game on Steam.
It's free? It's a free to play game? I didn't even know that. Or is it a demo? This is riveting content for the end of the show, as the end of the show always degrades into nonsense. Well, Brett, we can look at that after the show and figure it out. So I don't keep us Googling here at the end.
There's updates, expansions for it that are paid, but the game itself is free.
I miss, maybe I'm an idiot, but Google browser, the Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, It used to have voice search, and they took it away, or I don't know how to re-enable it. Because you used to be able to just say, I'm not going to say it because I have several Google devices in my house that'll activate, but you used to be able to say the same keyword you say for the devices to your computer, and it would launch the browser and do a search. And when that functionality went away, I was kind of disappointed because in a lot of cases, when you really want to know something quick and your phone isn't handy, or if you want to see it visually, which you can't with like a Google Home speaker, it was handy to do it on the computer. And that functionality seems to be gone. Although it's probably like a plugin or something that you have to re-enable, or, you know, an extension. Yeah, like a made by Google extension, but it used to be built in is what I'm saying. And it went away, and I haven't done the research to figure out if I can turn it back on because I don't care enough, but I care enough to rant about it an hour into a podcast that no one that can change this will ever hear. So there is your rant at the end. That's it. That's all she wrote this week. Hopefully Spencer and Gus are back next week. Brett, thank you for filling in as always. Great to have you.
No problem.
I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton, or you can follow the show at Multiform Pod. And he is
Brett Kemmerling.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at Multiform Pod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.